Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I'm giving you a quick shot of romance, but author spotlight edition. And on this spotlight, I'm talking with author Vanessa Vail. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
A USA Today bestseller, Vanessa Vail writes tempting romance with unapologetic bad boys who don't just fall in love, they fall hard. Her books have sold over 1 million copies. She lives in the American West, where she's always finding inspiration for her next story. So before we talk about the cowboys of Devil's Dutch, let's get to know you a bit, because it's been a little bit since you've visited. So what initially drew you to romance as a writer?
Well, first off, I was a romance reader. I love reading romance. I always have. And ultimately, one day at work, eons ago, it was last century even, and I could say that a friend of mine and I were saying, hey, how hard could it be to write a romance? And I took it to heart and I got into it. It took a couple of years and it was really hard and still is.
Yeah. So do you remember your gateway romance book?
I don't, but they were definitely historical pirates.
I mean, that's fairly like typical. I myself, my mom got the boxes of Harlequins like each month. So that's where I started diving in. Like, I couldn't tell you what the first book I read, but I devoured those way earlier than I should have been.
Right. I think mine were more like Joanna Lindsay kind of bodice rippers. And yeah.
I mean, who doesn't like a good bodice ripper?
And who doesn't like a good historical pirate? I mean, I would love someone to write one now.
I mean, there's still some pirates out there.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're pretty hot.
So as a writer, how do you approach creating that compelling story that draws people in, but also creating relatable characters?
I think it comes down to what I want to read. Mm-hmm. Since I'm a reader, I read a lot. I want to make sure that I am putting out something that I myself would want to read. And then how do I get relatable characters? I try to put in real life stuff. A lot of times crazy stuff happens to me. I'm sure it happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. And I try to put that in there because I can't be the only one who was in the hot tub with their husband and a skunk came by. So those kinds of things get put into stories because, see, it made you laugh right off the bat.
Well, and that's the thing, like crazy things happen to everybody. And it's like when you read a book where something like that happens, you're like, oh, I can totally relate to that. Like I have had something similar to that happen.
Right.
I
Might
personally
not be you
have
have
not had skunks walking past, but.
Right. Or you might not have had a hot tub skunk story, but you might have a skunk story with your dog or who knows what that makes you recognize the connection with the character in the book. And also, I think characters who are not perfect, who are very flawed and ridiculous or stupid in the moment things, I'm sure we all do them. And it feels better for us to have someone who knows, hey, that person did it too, even if the person's fictional.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, like you can be a very intelligent person and still do really dumbass stuff.
I think we do it every day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So are there any writing rituals or habits that you have that help you stay focused?
No, I do not have any. It more comes down to sort of habit versus rituals. I like to get all my admin stuff done in the morning because my brain isn't that sharp. I like a fair amount of coffee and then I get rolling. Usually by the afternoon, I'm ready to sit down and do some writing, but I definitely do not write at night. I am done. I'm like not a 9-to-5 or more like a 7-to-4 kind of gal. And so in the evenings, I don't write. I don't feel like writing. I do, though, probably like every other writer who's listening to this, get an idea at a certain time out of the blue and you have to write it down somewhere. And again, if you don't, then you forget it. But sometimes I get a little bit of inspiration at an odd time, but
Do you ever like get that inspiration to write the note and the next day I'd be like, what the heck was I writing about?
Oh, absolutely. I do something. I will write. I'm more of a pantser than a plotter, but I like to have a basic outline or a skeleton to plot from or to write from. But sometimes when I write it down, I'm looking at it and I'm like, I don't even know what this means. So yes, I get myself in trouble because my notes make absolutely no sense.
So for your writing, like you said, you have a basic plot, but you've also co-written quite a few books with Renee Rose.
Right.
Do you have a different writing process when you co-write than when it's just you?
Well, the great thing about co-writing is that you got two brains, which really helps a lot. You can bounce ideas off each other. So, if as pantsers, we can really write a scene and then pant some more, and then write a scene and then pant some more, and then write a scene. When you're by yourself and you're writing solo, and if you're a pantser, you finish a scene, and if you don't have anything, you have to pause and think about something next, and then you get it, and then you have to pause and think about something next. You can't really bounce ideas off of yourself. At least I don't have any inner voices that talk to me with plot ideas yet. I do have lots of voices in my head. So it definitely is handy to have literally another person to voice things with. The scenario that we do is we set up a framework, and then as we do a scene or finish a scene, then we'll talk again about what we're going to do for the next one, and then move forward and do the next one. And what that does is, most books, you think the plot goes from point A to B like a straight line down a highway.
But
But when you do it this way, it literally veers left and right and left and right. And by the time we get to the end of the book, we laugh because it is in a completely different destination than where we started, but we're really excited about the final outcome.
So here's a question though. With you and Renee, your Alpha Mountain Hero series,
Right?
are you guys ever going back there?
We never say never because we like to might get a brainstorming idea about it. This series follows former SEALs who ended up in small town in Montana, and then things fall apart, and they need to bring their talents out. So we have three books in the series, and there are additional SEALs in the wings waiting for their own books. So I'll say maybe someday.
Because that is one series, like when it came out, I was like, I was all in, and then I was only three books. I'm like, oh no, I need more.
Well, I appreciate your eagerness for it. I will throw that over to Renee and we'll see what we can do.
Do you, as a romance writer, find it to be a challenge, or do you not listen to any of the taboo background noise and just full steam ahead?
Such as what
Well,
kind of?
it's just because it's such a taboo place to be still, even in 2025. Like, people put it down, people have such negative things to say about it. But as an author, like, you're proud of that. Like,
Right.
but do you have any, like, is there any stigma around the choice of you being a romance
I
author?
That's a good question because I think it comes there is there I have not had anyone who found it anything but fascinating. Whenever I get the questions like, so what do you do? And I tell them, usually people stall, look at me like I said I'm like a polar bear tamer, and then they're like, really? And then they're so excited. At a high school reunion one time, someone asked me, is that a real job or did you just pull that, make that up for the reunion? I was at the doctor's office one time and literally I had a needle in my arm because the doctor was trying to make small talk and asked me what I did. And I told him she stopped what she was doing with the needle in my arm because she was so stunned. It is always found to be fascinating. So I haven't come across anyone yet who has said anything to me personally that wasn't really super excited about it. I do ask after I tell them if they read romance, and then when they say yes, then I go one direction in the conversation, and then if they say no, then I know to tailor the conversation in a different way because it could go
It could take a
in
hard
a disappointing
left.
direction.
No, and that makes sense. And that's the thing, like, there's so many opinions in the world. And it's like, I feel like people just make it such a negative, like, world to be in sometimes. It's very frustrating. I mean, it's a billion-dollar industry for a reason.
Right. Yeah, I've lucked out and I haven't come across anybody that has been a challenge. I think that the people I come across are generous and interesting. Either they don't like what they do professionally, or they're readers and are excited to meet someone who does that, or I don't know, they just
Or just interested.
I live in a great community, I
Well,
guess.
that's good. Is there a piece of advice that present author you would give past author you?
Definitely just keep writing. I think the more books you have, the better chances you have to do things with them. And also you get better, but the more you write, you learn a lot of stuff. The other thing would be you learn a lot of stuff. So you're not failing, you're failing forward, or there's all these different phrases that different motivational speakers use. If something doesn't go right, it's not failing. You tried, you did it. Just keep, you recognize what it was and learn from it and move ahead, because every day we fail at something in this business, because it shifts so quickly. It's hard to get a stable footing when on something new to you, because it's ever changing. I guess that's from my age. It's like with technology in general, I have to circle back to my, 20-year-old kids to help me fix stuff. And so just don't let challenges that could be considered failures get you down.
I think that's a great piece of advice. So let's talk Cowboys of Devil's Ditch. So this is an insta-love series that you're fast-tracking release of. It's 9 books. It's a family of 9 siblings. So let's talk. What was the inspiration for this series?
Well, the bulk of my books are either, well, all of my books are either cowboys or small town romance. The difference between the two is that the hero has a cowboy hat on his head or he doesn't. So that's pretty much the difference between, in my opinion, between cowboy romance and small town romance. So in this one, I wanted to change up my writing pace, because I usually write longer books around 75,000 words. But as of late, my earlier books were shorter, but lately I've been writing longer books. And I wanted to write something short, but I wanted to write something short where people could read through an entire series. The one thing I think that people like about my books is in my series is that they're little worlds, and people like to jump into that world and then stay there. So having more books in a series really helps with that. But the pace to write 9 long books, at least for me, could be 2 years.
Yeah, it could be grueling.
And while that's great for everybody, it's grueling for me, it's grueling for the readers, because they got to wait. This way, with shorter books, I can get to the hit the, make the romance stronger and make the story tighter. So kind of like, when you add spaghetti sauce, you add some tomato paste, which is really intensely potent tomato sauce, really, right? So I just make I'm making these intensely potent stories so that you get to the parts that you want, maybe focusing on you climb in bed and read with a book. Maybe you might even finish it if you're a speed reader. So the goal was to get to the spicy parts and get the insta-love heat and everything going real fast, and then have 9 of them so you can read through various characters in the same world.
Well, and it's a family and like their dynamic, like all of these brothers are very different, but the like idea behind all the relationship is they like their parents, like they want what their parents had. Like their parents met, got married, and like got pregnant all within a very short span of life. And I powered through the first 3 books this morning, to be honest.
Well, let me make sure that I add in here that you must be a remarkably fast reader, because the books are not that short if to plow through 3 of them in one
No,
morning.
I do. I read very fast. Like I can read like a 400-page book in like 3 hours.
Okay, I appreciate you adding that key in the corner of that
Yeah,
statement.
they're not that short. I am just an anomaly. Like I'm not quite a speed reader, but I am a very fast reader. But that was the thing. Like I love a novella like this where it's that instant connection, over the top, obsessed, like you are mine. Like as soon as they like meet or the switch flips because book 3 is a sister's best friend, and so it's like, but then there's this obsessiveness to it, and I love
Right.
that.
Right. And me as a reader, we're circling back to your original question. Sometimes I love in this day and age, sometimes, well, how about this? We all read romance because we know there's a guaranteed happily ever after. I also sometimes really want a book where I know I open it up and the guy sees the girl And he knows immediately he wants her.
Yes.
For me, in my mind as a reader, I'm like, good, I don't have to do jump through all these hoops and wonder a question. It's just like bam. And he's trying to get her to agree to it all along. And so to me, that's the kind of story I sometimes really, really crave. I don't need all the conflict and challenge in every book that I read. Therefore, I'm offering this alternate option, which is different than my usual ones. But excuse me, because I do nine of them, the number of words that fill the entire series for this family, if I don't add on, is more than three or four books. And so it's a huge, huge series, but they're just broken into little chunks. And so I give you nine happily ever afters instead of three or four.
Well, and so far through the first three books, like there is a little bit of an overarching storyline and like a character that is like talked about in each of these books, and he's kind of like making trouble throughout the at least these three. I don't know if it's extending like through the rest of them, but so it's like you have that pool of like, yes, like I really need to have the other siblings' books, but what is going to happen with this guy who is like a nemesis to the town?
Right. You got to have a bad guy or someone you just don't like down the street. Yes, in these, there is a happily ever after, excuse me, in each book. But there might be in a book or two or three, I'm not sharing which, a slight hint of a cliffhanger that has nothing to do with the happily ever after. It's just an overarching story, baby cliffhanger that makes you want to jump to the next book. And I know a lot of people who read cliffhangers, are like, tossing their arms up and growling at the sky because they have to
I
wait to
hate.
see what happens. Well, I'm giving you the book within a week. So all these books come out 1 week apart, starting October 1st, October 1st, October 8th, and so on, all the way down until December. The only time you have to wait a week is over the US Thanksgiving week, which I don't put out a book. But otherwise, you only have to wait a couple of days until you see what happens next. And I promise you're not going to be, meanwhile, I hope you'll be eager to get the next one. You won't be left hanging.
Well, and I personally like I hate a cliffhanger. Like they make me irrationally angry, especially if I don't know about it. Like nothing makes me angry. But these types of cliffhangers, it doesn't bother me because it's one of those like it entices me to like keep going with the storyline. But like the characters themselves, like they're fully formed. Like you know that like that is a done deal. I'm good with that. It's that like
Right.
trail that makes me want to come back. But yeah, I hate a cliffy.
Yeah, I'm not super psyched about them either unless the next book is ready to go immediately. And so I have hopefully met everyone's needs with these scenarios. Be like I said, I'm a reader first and foremost, and so I'm trying to give my readers exactly what I would want if I was reading a series from someone else.
Well, I've been very happy with them
I'm
because
glad.
Like I said, I enjoy, like, I devour novellas like on a regular basis. They're my palate cleansers, these style of books where it's just you go in, like, it's a good couple hours where, like, I don't have to focus. I can just do it. But then it's done and, like, I'm fully satisfied. Like, I'm not, like, having to step back and I'm left hanging. And it's like, I need to finish that book. Like, I'm a one sitting type of book person. And I can't
Right.
always do
They're kind of
that.
like little quickies, and hopefully they're spicy enough where after you finish, you call over your significant other and have
They're definitely spicy. You do not hold back on any of that in these ones either. So after Cowboys of Devil's Ditch, like we're fast releasing these, like you said, what's next?
well. It is right now still September as we're recording this,
Yes.
and these books go all the way through till December.
Okay.
So what next is all the way down at the end of the year. It's kind of crazy that we're almost to that point.
I know.
But I can share on here that Renee Rose and I are writing another Wolf Ranch book, and the title
Ooh.
is called Dangerous. We are just starting it. We've just done that pantsing, plotting conversation that I just shared with you, and it is in the works. When is it coming out? I can't say for sure yet, but sometime before the end of the year.
Okay. I do love that Wolf Ranch series. There's just something about it. I mean, I like a wolf shifter. So.
They are spicy, they are growly, pun intended and no pun intended, and they have all of the insta-love qualities of like she's mine without it being
But I
a
don't
short
want her to be
story.
mine type of thing too,
Right.
though.
And you know he's not going to stray. As shifters, they sniff the scent of their mate and know that she belongs to them. And that is, you're confident in that stability of the hero all the way through the book. There's no cheating, there's no straying, there's nothing in there that other books might have because they want that in there and they're great for those stories. But they do go through conflicts and the stories are longer, but every reader is confident in knowing that this guy wants his girl.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, more often than not, in those Wolf Ranch books, they're like, we cannot do this. Like, they make really dumb choices. Like, but at the same time, it's like, but she's mine, but I can't have her, but she's mine.
Right. Well, yeah, the thing about shifters is because they're real and all, the shifters, they can't share to the world that they are shifters. But every single heroine in these books are human women with guy shifters because, in my opinion, I jump into the role of the character or the heroine in the books I read. I identify with her and I kind of try
As
to
not a
become
shifter.
her. Right. And so when I'm not a shifter, I feel really difficult in the ability to jump into that role. I might be able to be better sent to 1880 Montana territory as a mail order bride or even a damsel in distress on a pirate ship than becoming a female shifter. But I think when I read these books, I have no problem with a shifter finding me, sniffing me, saying I'm his mate, and then we figure it out. It's, I think, a kind of fulfilling a fantasy that this might happen to any one of us. They might be out there. I just haven't found them yet.
Do you think you would ever write a pirate book, though?
You see, I have a theme about pirates, but you caught me off guard with the kind of book I started with. I personally haven't read a pirate book recently. I haven't seen a modern written one, like one written recently. Therefore, I don't know if there's a huge market for it these days. I only have so many words in my fingers that I can output at a time, to be able to
I don't
put one
know.
out there.
I would probably read a pirate book. I do like myself a pirate. I mean, you have books that were like set in like wagon like times.
Right,
Why
but I
not?
my theme of cowboys is what I stick with.
This is true. I don't know. Maybe Renee can write as a pirate.
I think she does have some. I recommend everyone do a search for Renee Rose and Pirates. I'm pretty sure she has some very, very old ones that I'm sure are ridiculously hot and spicy.
I don't know, I'm looking now. Well,
I
'cause she
feel
has
really
her
confident she does.
Zadians. Like, she has a pretty eclectic, like.
Right. So since I stick pretty much with cowboys and small town, whether it's lately contemporary in the past, I had some historicals. She sticks with spicy and has been able to do an amazing job of jumping from genre to genre to satisfy her readers onto all kinds of things like pirates and shifters and mafia and all kinds of things that I love to read. So she does a really great job with that.
She does, yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me on this author spotlight. I appreciate you coming and talking Cowboys of Devil's Ditch.
Thanks for having me, and I'm glad you enjoyed the books, the first three at least.
And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.